accession number 19390, Reel 2.
Eddie Jeffries, Reel 2. So, you had to fetch the gun sight from near Bombay to bring it back to Ranchi.
And well, they were going back to 17th Near HQ. So they said, "Oh well, with a jeep coming, you can have a, you can put it on there and we'll take you." So I we took that, and it, then we handed it over to 17th Indian Division, HQ, and then we went back to join our unit in Ranchi.
What was so special about this gun sight that you had?
I don't know. It was a new one that had been invented. So anyway, I got there safe and sound. I expected trouble on that, I'll tell you, many a time, because it was such a big thunderous thing. You carried it.
What did it look like?
Well, it was in a box. You know, you couldn't tell what it looked like. Then I joined my unit again, and then after that, we packed up and went back to run to Imphal. There about a month, pondering what to do, and then they came out with the idea of this hammer and anvil effort. So, British 2nd Division went down the centre. We went down the Tamu Road, crossed the Irrawaddy Pavan, then went into MacTilla. Captured MacTilla.
What was the capture of MacTilla like?
Pretty rough.
Can you describe it?
Well, I mean, it was a battle, and I know the signal officer sent for me, and sent word for me to take my wireless set there. So I took it, and I handed it over to him, and I turned round and to walk back, and he shouted to me. And as he turned round, there was one shot came out, and the stop lit went off.
And what?
The stop lit went off.
It hit his top lip?
He took his top lip clean off. And, you know, for years I thought, you know, I must have been dreaming over that. But this reunion, I went to him and shook his hand. I never mentioned the incident, because, you know, I didn't like. And I've told my wife about it, and she was with me, and there it was. His lips all puckered up at the top, where he'd been shot out.
Was he from Ninth Border?
Yes, yes.
Which company was he in?
He was a HQ company. And then...
Had you known him well?
Oh, yeah, he was a grand officer. Yes. He was a great officer. Yeah.
In what way?
Well, he understood everybody. You know, he was a marvellous officer, he was.
And that happened at MacTilla?
Yes, yes.
Whereabouts in MacTilla?
In the main street.
Was that the sniper?
Pardon?
Was that a sniper?
Well, no, because you see, we were in this, what they call a street, we would call a street. And then there's a lake, but in the lake there's an island. And there's some pagodas in there. And the Japs were in the pagodas. So we sent word through that they were wanted aircraft to come and sort them out. And that they would put a mortar shell down, a coloured mortar shell, where they were. anyway, the mortar shell, when we could hear the calf coming, they put down this mortar shell, but they didn't bomb them, they bombed us instead.
Was this the RAF?
Yeah, no, the American Air Force. So, no, they...
Was anybody a casualty?
No casualties. But, and then from there I went to Piobe for a skirmish there.
What happened on that skirmish?
Dear me. With tanks and everything, and they were held up, and we had to stop, and there was an hollow, so we were all told to get in there, in the hollow, even the tank. We took his machine gun out, just in case. But they were knocking hell out of us with mortar shells. And with quite a few casualties there. And then we came back, and then we stopped just a little bit further back. Than where we were. And night time come, and then there are these lorries coming. That's from where we come from. Well, you'd rifle men all the way along. And when it came out, the Japanese, truckload after truckload. Of course, one or two had got through by then, but they sorted the rest out. And...
Did you often fire yourself then?
Very little, because you didn't. You had to be there at the set all the time. It's only when you got close encounter that and became involved that you had to do it.
But you carried a Sten, did you?
Sten gun, yes. Well, I had a Sten gun, a Bren gun, revolver, rifle. They kept swapping us over for them, you know. And then from there, I went back into ranch, to MacTiller, for weeks. Well, not weeks, but for a week or two. And these terrible bodies on me behind. And there was no MO that you could go to while you were on patrol or anything like that. And I went to him, and he said, oh, he says, you've got pharyngolitis, you'll have to be evacuated.
Pharyngolitis.
I've never heard of it before. And from there...
How had you got that?
Well, dirt, I think, you know, sitting down, and I think they first started off as boils. And then after that, I was went to Camilla. No, yes, Shillong again, Shillong Hospital, where it was cool. From the after they cleared up, which was about a month, I went there, took us to Camilla.
What kind of treatment did you get for this complaint?
This complaint was a big syringe in there every morning.
In your arm?
In your arm. Turn over, and then an injection in your backside.
Was it effective?
Pardon?
Did it work?
Well, it must have done. It cleared it up.
So, you made a full recovery?
Yes, and went back to Camilla ready to join my unit. But unfortunately, I didn't. The end of the war was close at eye. And they wouldn't send down anyone in for the distance. So my next move was to do Lally, waiting for repatriation. That was in 1945, going up for 1945. No, after, well, over 1945. The Japanese war was over, and then we came back on the Mauritania to Liverpool.
How did that journey compare with the one you've been on?
Well, marvellous, marvellous, marvellous journey home.
How How did you find Burma as a country to live in and fight
in? Oh, no. Terrible to fight in. Because you never knew where they were. And you always had to be in a box. You know, from sides and back. They were all over the place. They were the same. They had to use the boxes as well. I remember once advancing and we were in a box and we were marching towards the Japs and they were shelling at either side. Our own shells were shelling at each side of us, back, front and side. So if they'd been in the shorts, there would have been a few casualties.
What did you think to the Japanese as soldiers?
I think they were medical, you know, they weren't good soldiers. Now, the finest soldier out is a Gurkha, without a doubt. There's no way they'll ever talk me out of it. No way at all.
They were better than the Japanese?
Japanese were frightened to death of them. We went, we had a duffy, what we used to call a duffy, and we had this mounted to climb, and we were told to capture the top of it. There was Japanese on top. Well, you know, when you're going up, it's harder to fire upwards than fire downwards. So they wanted to put a 25-pound barrage down before we went in, but, oh, no, the seal, no, we're all right. But they were stuck there. And they were throwing everything at us. One of the sergeants, Sergeant Bentley's, died this year. He threw himself on an hand grenade to save his company commander. And they put him aside at the track, thought he was dead. And then somebody saw him moving. And Ian was saying that every year he had to go in hospital and have shrapnel to get out of his stomach. Now, we got word to withdraw. The Gurkhas was going in. Well, they put a barrage down. And the Gurkhas went in. And it didn't last 2 hours. And I've never seen as many legless and armless men in my life. He'd drawn his kukri, you know, as soon as the fight of the last round. And then they bring out the kukri. And out it comes. And when that comes out, they've got to draw blood.
So you saw the battlefield afterwards?
Afterwards, yes. And you never went hungry with them, you know. You go like this on the tree, you know, grab the leaves off it along. And you say, tick ice up. And you'd eat it, you ate it, and it just tasted like an apple. And they told me, as long as a monkey eats it, you can eat it. Whatever a monkey eats, you can eat.
What does tikai mean?
All right, Sam. I mean, Ian puts that on top of our doings every time, tikai.
Where was that battle where the Gurkhas went in with the kukri that you've just described?
You know, it was just a small village, a skirmish. It wasn't anything.
You were talking about the Nagas earlier on. Did you find them reliable and trustworthy?
Well, some. The most that they wanted was a blankets, you know. But anything else, not like the Indians, you know, when you was in Calcutta, you had to put a half a hundred lock of key at night.
Did they get? Did the Nagas get blankets from you?
Well, they never stole any of mine. Well, we didn't have one blanket, but...
But did the soldiers give them blankets?
Not that I know of.
So the Gurkhas knew about what you could eat and what you couldn't
eat? They could, yeah. Yes, he's a jolly little soldier, yes, for sure.
Any other memories that you've got? Any other incidents that happened to you?
There's one at place we call it Pots and Pans, or Pots and Bam. As we were coming away from the withdrawing from doing some of the Canada Peak. There was a skirmish there at Pots and Pans. One of our lads, he said, "Have you got a drink of water?" And I said, "Yes." Took my bottle off, gave it to him to have a drink, and put it back. And it was like a metallic road, proper road, just outside the Enfield. And he just went to the other side, and they shot and it killed him. He was killed, yeah.
So this was another sniper?
Yeah. And they were bolting us like anything. And I had my pack on my back with a tin of bull beef in. And something knocked me over like that. I thought, what the hell is that? And I threw my pack off, and there's a gaping hole in my pack. Looked out inside, and my bullet beef was three times as large as what it was with a piece of shrapnel in it. So, no. And then another, same place, same time. I was behind this little edge with my last set, and all I could hear was, "Jeffries, Jeffries, I've got it." And he's coming out holding his elbow. And when I saw him at the doings, Carlisle Castle, I said, "Do you remember that day?" He said, "I did." I said, "Well, you know, I stood where you was, and I didn't feel it, but I heard a shoop." So it must have been as close as anything. So, but you got that way that he used to walk about normal, as though, "Oh, well, if it comes, it comes." You get used to it.
Did you ever capture any of the enemy?
Only that time when Captain Netherton got killed. Then I didn't see them. But you see, the lads were up front of you, the infantry, and you was always behind with the company commander.
Did you get wounded at all?
No, no. The only thing I had was malaria and that. Pharyngolosis.
What do you feel now about having served in Burma with the Nant Borders?
Proud. Proud.
Do you think it was all worthwhile?
Yes, yes, definitely.
In your company, in HQ company, do you remember the men and officers you were serving with?
Well, some of them, yes.
Who are the ones that you remember?
Well, there was Major Broderick. Now, Patty was a good one, but he's dead now. You don't want anybody that's dead. do you?
Well, tell me, yes, if you tell me about the ones.
Colonel Pettit, Major Broderick, Lieutenant, well, I should have called him Captain Bibby, Captain Thompson, Captain Blumeyer, and then the company commander was Major Dobson. Was the company commander. He was a nice chap.
How did everybody get on with each other in the
company? Marvellous. No squabbles whatever. Never known a fight or anything. Not even in peacetime. When we was out of Burma, out of action. No, never had a quarrel.
Was there anything in the way of equipment and supplies that you could have done with, which you didn't have?
Tanks and that, and although tanks would have been of very little use. I only saw one tank, and that was that one at Coima. Until the end of the war, near the end, when in MacTilla they came, the tanks, Provin's horses, they were called.
So once you got back to England, were you then demobbed?
No, went up to Dalton in Furness. Arrived in this country on November 29th, my wife's birthday. And from Liverpool, I passed within 100 yards of her, where she was living. And I passed about the same distance where my parents lived, going to Dalton. And then I was got a month's leave, which put me over Christmas and New Year. And then I went back for a short period, and then we were demobbed. So.
Did you have any lasting effects from
Burma? None whatever. The only thing is, weather like this kills me now.
Hot weather.
Hot weather. Can't stand it.
What effect does it have on you?
Drooping, you know, saps all your strength away.
Do you think that's a legacy from your Burma days?
Well, I don't know, yeah. And there's only once I've had malaria while I've been at home, and that was 1948, and I've never had it since.
Had you not been taking pills?
Oh, yes. Not when I came home, no.
In Burma, what did you take?
Oh, yes, Macpacan. And cream, used to rub cream on for mosquitoes.
Repellent?
Yes.
Did it work?
Well, I think it did, yes.